chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm delighted to have Chad Everett on the show today. Chad is the CEO and president of Infinite Kingdom. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So, Chad, I've been really looking forward to our conversation.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So you and I recently met through an organization, CEO Forum. Greg and I have been involved in CEO Forum. I don't even know for how many years now. You're doing really cool stuff. But before we get into what you're doing today, I kind of want to talk a little bit about how you grew up. I know that you live in Dallas. Don't you live in the DFW Metroplex?
I do. Yeah, right outside of Dallas, Flower Mound, which is kind of in the Grapevine area, if you're familiar with the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But yes, live in Flower Mound, right outside Dallas.
I love Flower Mound. No, we had an office in Dallas for 6 years. Very familiar with that area and South Lake and Grapevine, that whole area. But you're married to Sandy with 4 kids.
Oh, yes.
That keeps you busy.
She keeps me grounded. I mean, she's homeschooling our 4 kids too. So stay-at-home mom, 4 kids. She's got her hands full. She is the MVP of our household for sure.
My goodness. Well, I tell you what, you're kind of a serial entrepreneur. You've done a lot of things in your career, and it's just awesome, isn't it, to have that partner that is really the CEO of the home and making sure the kids are doing well. How old are your kids?
So I have 2 boys, 2 girls. My boys are the bookends. And so my oldest boy is 13. That's Lucas. And then Elena is 11. Olivia is 9. And Levi turned 6 in January. So we are, our house is full. It's dirt bikes. It is trampolines. We're a performing arts family. So my kids, the oldest son actually is a paid actor now. He's so super excited about that. If we're not busy doing entrepreneurial things, we're busy chauffeuring kids around town and living a great life in the Flower Mound area.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and I know that you grew up as a preacher's kid. Now, did you have siblings?
I did. So me and my older sister, it was just the two of us. But yeah, I grew up in Michigan. I'm a sports guy. And so when you grew up in Michigan, you didn't really pick the Detroit Lions as your football team. So you kind of had to pick one of the college teams. So Michigan, University of Michigan became mine. Yeah, I grew up with my sister. My parents were in the pastorate. And so they pastored several different churches in Michigan. And so we moved to, I think, 3 different places within Michigan. And then when I was around 12, they got the call to plant churches in California. And let me tell you, I grew up in a town of 300. And we moved from Little Clarksville, Michigan to Berkeley, California to plant a church. And if you want to talk about taking a hick from the sticks and putting them the epitome probably of urban United States of America, that was it. And there's probably 300 in my little village in Michigan, 300 probably on my block where I lived in Berkeley. So grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area probably for around 17 years or so as my parents, planted different churches in the area.
Well, okay. So now I want to get into your career. So after college, after university, you began your career as a co-owner of a company that serves vehicles for Fortune 500 companies. Where did the entrepreneurial spirit come in? Because you've done this a couple of different times now, and we'll talk about that. But where do you think you got that bug?
I think it's in my grandpa, for sure. He was a business owner. He owned an international harvester dealership. And so I kind of watched him a little bit as he you know, I was growing up in Michigan and kind of seeing what he had to deal with. And I think that thread kind of came through me as well. But then watching my parents, I mean, entrepreneurial spirit, I think oftentimes is about taking something that's a vision in your head and then, you know, putting it to action and seeing it birth and grow. And I think about my parents and, you know, what they've done in terms of taking churches from nothing and helping them to grow, I think became instrumental in, you know, just having that kind of spirit about, you know, wanting to be your own boss, wanting to be kind of in control of your time. Some of the things that, you know, everybody thinks about the glorious side of entrepreneurship, but I don't know if I'm one of those people that is exactly employable. I have a high D kind of personality. I'm a big driver. And so I knew that I really wanted to take something under in my own control and start to build. I'm a builder by nature. I love taking a vision inside my head and putting hands to it. And the Lord's been very gracious to me. And it's been a great ride that way.
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point, because sometimes you do have those personality traits, right? I remember our oldest son, way back in the day, we had him do a Berkman study. And, you know, he went through some of the assessments. And I know one of the assessments came back and said he's going to make a terrible employee. But he will probably own his own thing one day.
Yeah,
you know, doing his own thing would be probably what he would end up doing. So there's a lot of wisdom packed in there. But in 2007, you went to a management consulting firm in California, which I think, honestly, when I am like coaching young people, I'm like, oh my goodness, to start in like a McKinsey or a Deloitte or an EY, I just think is so smart. Because you get such a preview into lots of different industries, lots of different ways of doing business. And so you did that for quite some time. And I just think that is probably awesome preparation too.
You know, it was a boutique firm in many ways. I mean, I think we had 30 consultants at any given time, kind of the CEO in waiting for that particular organization, great organization led by some great believers. But we did a lot of work for state agencies, some Fortune 50 companies, and doing strategic planning, management, implementation, those kinds of things. And you're exactly right. I mean, a great broad exposure to business in general, especially as, you know, if you're a corporate leader or you're a business owner that's starting to get, you know, that above that 100 employee count, you're really starting to get more into the almost a corporate style type of leadership. And to be able to see that dynamic and that leadership dynamic at an early age was something that really benefited me quite greatly.
In 2014, you went to be the chief strategist for the largest Christian media broadcaster in the world. I think you said when you left there, they were serving an audience of about roughly 30 million people, and that's K-Love. And so you were the chief strategy officer there for quite some time. What'd you learn from that business, Chad?
One, great organization, doing some great work. And so, yeah, 30 million across both our K-Love and Air One. You might be familiar with one or the other, depending upon where you are around the country. I learned that to change culture is a very intentional, dedicated effort. Part of my role was to help them reimagine what does K-Love look like in a multimedia type of world. You know, but you have to understand, K-Love had some massive success and still does, but it has some massive success doing a radio type of ministry. But unequivocally, they knew that in order to reach more people, to continue reaching a new demographic and maintain their relevancy in the market, they needed to expand that and grow. And so they knew they needed to broaden the horizon, broaden outside of just radio and go into multimedia. But that's hard. I mean, it's a hard journey. And I think many entrepreneurs find themselves in this place where, you know, the company's starting to grow and they're thinking about new lines of business or thinking about new products and services, but they're so culturally aligned to this particular way of doing business, it's hard to sometimes envision what that looks like outside. And how do you branch out without killing what got you to where you are? And so it took roughly 2 years to really finalize the vision. And what that meant is having to communicate to the board, right? Communicate to key executive leadership, to get buy-in, to have these crucial conversations that go back and forth to really bring everybody together around unity. And that leads me to, I think, what I learned the most. And the most important thing I learned in that whole situation is that without unity, it's hard to adopt change. And so if you don't have unity in what you're doing as a leadership organization, you're not going to make it. It's like what Peter Drucker says, you know, culture eats strategy for breakfast. If anything, you learn that, and that if you're going to adopt something new, you really have to make sure the culture is aligned critically around and in unity around what it is that you're doing so that you can actually execute it well.
You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday and he said, you know, what I love to do is throw a bomb and stuff and blow things up because, you know, we have to continue to reinvent. Just like what you just said. I mean, they knew that to go further, they needed to do something different, you know, and to change things up without losing, like you said, what got them to where they are. You know, there's that old saying, what got you here will not get you there, you know, but the unity part, my goodness, I mean, that's where it will fall apart.
One of the things too is making sure that you have the right team in place. Not parlays exactly into, you know, what happened with Caleb, but there's team members that just won't make that journey with you. And knowing that you have to have the right people, if God's called you in a direction and God's given you the vision to take it and you know it and you have a unified force, not everyone's going to take that journey with you. And that's okay. They're meant to be with that journey, then that's great. But God might have something else for some of those people.
Good stuff there. And then when you left K-Love, and I know this church, Gateway Church in Dallas, or I think it's closer to Grapevine, right? Gateway. And Fort Worth.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You went there into the Kingdom Business Leaders Department. And this whole idea with Gateway equips and empowers business leaders by teaching biblical principles alongside industry best practices. And I love that. And I actually went to KBL and like downloaded some of the lessons, really good stuff. So what were you doing there?
I never knew I was going to go to Gateway. I thought for sure my career was going to start and stop with K-Love. I had a great trajectory working with K-Love and still very much love them, champion them. And I think at one point in time, our paths will intersect once again. But I was down at Gateway to look at their program as a possibility of leveraging some of what they're doing with what K-Love is doing. And I'm sitting in the founder's office of Kingdom Business Leaders, and the Lord taps me on the heart and says, "You're not here to check out Kingdom Business Leaders. You're here because I got something for you down here in this DFW area." And so I said, "God, I don't know that you know what you're talking about. And I don't know if you've ever had those conversations, but they never go in your way." And so through a series of lots of prayer, lots of counsel, I knew I was supposed to come down here. I knew I was supposed to help Kingdom Business Leaders launch. What they really were trying to do is take what they are doing at Gateway, which if, you know, for some of your audience, they might not know who Gateway is, but it's probably, depending upon what chart you look at, one of the fifth largest churches in America. Certainly their budget's probably the top. It's just a very influential church and a church that really has done well and has built a successful culture. And but they wanted to take this business leader platform, of which I think they had 1,500 of their own members a part of this business leader platform. They wanted to take what they've done and be able to expand it into other churches. And so kind of my strategic background, my scaling background, leadership background, I came and helped them, you know, package this up and get it ready for mass distribution and execution scalability. But what's interesting, Lisa, is that, you know, you never know what God is up to. You may have heard of Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh. This was Jehovah Sneaky. He reached down here to Dallas because the whole vision, which we may get to about what I'm up to now, I couldn't have done where I was in K-Love. It had to have happened where I am here. And, you know, I could spend an hour and a half describing how God has opened up doors. And when God opens up doors, it's life-changing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I love it. You know, so like if our listeners wanted to check this out, you know, because I mean, it's like a curriculum and leadership lessons for business leaders. How would our listeners get to that?
So you would go to kingdombusinessleaders.com. And that would be the best place, and they can go there and get all great information. They're working on redeveloping their software platform, which is one of the things that we identified early on as, you know, a scalability thing. So they're about to launch their new platform, which really opens up the whole library of content to anybody. So you don't have to be just a partner, a member of Gateway Church. Anybody could have access to that. Great program. Great content.
Yeah.
If you want to learn how to build business God's way, that's the way to do it.
Awesome. Well, listen, we do need to take a quick break. We've got so much more to talk about. I really want to get into what you're doing today because I'm really excited about that. But we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Chad Everett.
Are you an IT executive with years of experience? Are you energized when you empower others? If I've piqued your interest thus far, you may be a great mentor for the TechAlex program in St. Louis. TechLX prepares rising IT leaders to tackle today's challenges and prepare for tomorrow's demanding roles by pairing them with senior IT executives like yourself. Mentors receive coaching from technology partners and will be invited to all TechLX networking events featuring outstanding speakers of the IT industry. To apply, visit tpi.co/TLX.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Chad Everett. So Chad, I want to get into gaming. I want to talk about the gaming world. So right now, I read, and I know you've got some even more recent stats, but in 2016, the number of gamers in the world was 2.5 billion. It grew to 2.7 billion in 2020, 2.8 billion through the first half of 2021. And then I know you've told me that now the current stat is 3.24 billion gamers, 41% of the world's population.
Unthinkable to some, I know.
But you know what's crazy to me? Last year, the Entertainment Software Association revealed that, you know, it's not just the millennials and the Zers, Chad, that are gamers. 55 to 64 accounted for like 9%. It's really crazy. In fact, I read something recently that said even that age population spending about 16 hours a week. And I know I had lunch with a friend last week and she's like, Lisa, have you done Wordle yet? You've got to get onto Wordle. You know, and it's this word game. So I've had a couple people tell me this. So I'm like, well, I guess I better get on to Wordle, you know, but it's not just our young people that are doing this. I mean, gamers of all ages.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, I was on a plane to Colorado Springs sitting next to somebody and we were having a conversation and came up with, you know, what it is I do and what, you know, what I'm involved with. And this person goes, oh, I love video games. And I say this because most people have this vision in their mind of who I'm talking to. And who I was talking to was a 35-year-old female nurse from New York who graduated the top of her class at the medical institution. Gaming is not just for the overweight, failure to launch individual that lives in the bottom of grandma's basement. That is the stereotypical picture that many people have of this industry and the gamers that they represent. But that is far from fact. I mean, there are a lot of millennials, a lot of professionals, a lot of people in this space. The last stat I saw, you may have something recent from what you said, but you know, it's half and half, and 48% or so are female that are in this gaming world.
I think to your point, there's stereotype and there's some assumptions that people make, right? And sometimes, you know, the assumptions are that it's negative, sometimes related to academic problems, social problems, fewer offline connections, you know, more isolation, and anything to the extreme can be bad.
That's right.
But I did read, like, there's another study that came out. It said there are some benefits, such as improving focus, multitasking, working memory, critical thinking skills.
I mean, if you think about what it takes to execute a game, you have to have fine motor skills, but you also have to have critical thinking. You're strategically working through this game, you're problem solving. In fact, there's a company, and the name skips me right now, but doing great work, actually right in my backyard here in Dallas-Fort Worth, around gaming and how they're helping to treat patients with PTSD. So there's really great benefits that can be leveraged inside the video game arena for sure, that I think many people have a knee-jerk reaction because, I mean, a lot of probably your listeners are parents of kids that, you know, spend hours and spend too much time. Because there is, like, look, I'm not going to sit here and say there's not game theory, right, that is very smart. In fact, you know, you have one of these and the people who develop these are experts in game theory and they know how to keep you connected to that device and get those dopamine triggers going. But there's also a great way of leveraging technology. Just like it says, whatever Satan meant for evil, you know, there's a good chance that we can redeem and turn for good.
Yeah. I know that kind of the brainchild of this started in 2019, but you are the founder and CEO of Infinite Kingdom, which is a multimedia startup that is poised to launch the first ever AAA video game series based on inspirational storylines, which I think is really good. So I'm so intrigued by this. You know, what was the particular story that led to you saying, I need to do this?
My story begins when I was at K-Love. And part of the journey that we took as we're, you know, moving into a multimedia ministry is to really think through, where do Christians need to show up? And so I laid the gauntlet down to my team. And I said, go find me where Christian media isn't and where we need to be. And Lisa, what kept coming across my desk is this opportunity called video games. The stats are staggering, the engagement that this thing has. And when you think of, and let's just take engagement for a second in terms of revenue, because where your dollars go is often in terms of, you know, how successful or what kind of engagement or reach you're having. The video game industry is bonkers. I mean, it's close to $180 billion in global revenue around the world. And in comparison, if you look at motion picture and music industry, it's well over double those two industries combined. But then if you stack streaming and you stack global motion picture, you stack global music revenue, and you're still not reached the global revenue of video gaming. And so it's just this massive industry. But what broke my heart is that I said, okay, great. Go find me the AAA company that is really killing it in this space. And unfortunately, we couldn't find any. Because what I had envisioned is like, well, let's go double down on these guys. Let's go invest in these guys and help them get started. And so that was unconscionable to me in many ways, Lisa, that you know, we can find great representation of Christians in the music industry and the motion picture industry, but in the most influential media in the world, and Christians aren't present. And that really broke my heart in many ways, that we're abdicating our responsibility to be salt and light in some of these arenas. So like we said earlier, God moved me on. I still have done a lot of consulting for media companies, and I happen to be with a group of some of the top Christian business leaders in the world and an event in Washington, D.C., and one of their breakout sessions had to do with arts and entertainment. And I remember speaking to a good friend of mine who was sitting next to me. I talked to him about my experience at Caleb and how the video game industry is one of these industries where, for all the ills that are present in the video game industry, it's not reason for us not to be there. In fact, if anything, that creates impetus for us to be there. If there's so many people there, we should be there. And so I was telling this to my friend, and you know, 5 minutes into the presentation, he goes, you know where Christians need to be? They need to be in the video game space. And Lisa, just like God tapped me on the heart and brought me to Dallas, God clearly tapped me on the heart then. You ever get that heart like, oh my goodness, what are you doing now? My friend and I look at each other and says, I think God's calling us to build a video game company. It started from there. And it started really from knowing how nefarious in many ways the video game industry is. I mean, it is there to hook you in and keep you there. I mean, just like any good form of media does or wants to do, but it really has a powerful impact. But when you look at games like Grand Theft Auto, and you look at games that really promote some values that are kind of antithetical, one, to just who good people are,
right?
Some of the really grotesque elements that can be found in video games, and how can we show up differently? How can we give a different value-based approach to the video game industry?
So tell me this, as you have a whole group of content writers and that sort of thing and technologists that are building this out, Chan, I also wanted to ask you, where are you in the cycle? And if anybody was wanting to get involved, how would they get involved?
Where we are is we're in our seed rounds. We're finishing up a $3.5 million seed round. We're about 500,000 short of that, but have great interest and people are coming in. We may oversubscribe based upon the interest that we're getting to 4 million, but would not go past that. And that $4 million, that seed round deliverable is really to develop the first playable level of the game. And that gives us the ability to go market test, to go take this out to market industry leaders, to our target markets, to strategic partners, to our investor groups that have capability to go the full distance with us in the funding of the startup. Large part why Christians, I don't think, show up in this AAA space is because the price is daunting. I mean, you're looking at a $40 million total raise that we're going to be looking to raise, but to build what we want to build. And Lisa, look, I come from the Christian media industry, and I've seen some of the media that Christians produce, and I think some of us are tired of the quality that the Christian media people are producing. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great people doing a lot of great media, but I don't want to go into the video game market subpar. I want to go into the video game market, cutting edge, innovative. It stands just as well, if not better, next to the whatever the best game is on the market. That's what my prayer was. That was my throwdown to our team and our gauntlet, that this is what we're going to go to market with or we're not. That gives that capabilities for our investors to see that we can actually produce that type of quality, that we have a team that's capable of doing it and get us to market. If anybody wants to know more about it, they can reach directly out to me. We're not public. You're not going to find us anywhere. We're holding all that back until we're ready to go launch. You're not going to find a website with Infinite Kingdom on it. That's all by design because we're not ready to make the big splash launch. We're trying to keep some things under lock and key a little bit until we have our stuff fully market tested and ready to go. But you can definitely reach out to me at Chad E. That's my first name and last initial at infinitekingdom.com. More than happy to chat with anybody that's interested in what it is we're doing and what wants any more additional information.
I love what you're doing. This is a way to influence the culture. And like you said, Chad, I just want to emphasize, Christian or not, it's good values. You want kids and our people growing up with character is of utmost importance, right? And so any way that we can influence that and build those values in through movies or whether it's through video gaming, you know, we need to be doing that. So I love it. And I also love that you're going in there, you know, with not a mediocre product, because honestly, people have so many options. And if it's mediocre, you're not going to have the adoption. You're not going to have the adoption. So I love everything you're doing.
That's right.
So this is called Something Extra. You know, Chad, I have to know, what do you believe is something extra that every leader needs?
I think it's mindset. And I've been on this kind of journey the last year and a half. My oldest son struggles with some mental health issues. And so whenever you have a child that struggles with something, then you really focus in and figure out, you know, what is the best way to help and figure out how to participate in the healing process. It got me really on this journey and thinking about, we as leaders often talk about developing cultures in our company, and we need to, right? But you know, if you're the CEO, if you're the top leader or a leader in your division or wherever you find yourself, you're the thermostat for that culture. And that thermostat starts in your mind. And what's the culture like in your head? The two greatest commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. I coach a lot of business leaders, and I recently was with a group of people that I coach, and I had them say, list me to your top five friends. And I say, how many of you put yourself down on the list? How many of you wrote your name down as one of your top five friends? Because it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we can't learn to love ourselves and be kind to us, then we're not going to give what we don't have. If we don't have love inside, then we're not going to be able to have love outside. And what's the narrative and the dialogue going on in your mind? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it honorable? The things that we should be thinking about. Is it those things? What are you telling yourself when you've had a failure? Are you calling yourself a failure? Are you calling yourself that you should have thought of that? Now, how kind are you being to you? Because to the degree that you can actually speak the right things, because Proverbs says, death and life in the power of the tongue. And so out of the abundance of your heart, the tongue speaks. And so if we don't have a belief about in the right mindset and the right perspective about what's going on around us, and we start saying the wrong things, we start setting ourselves up for a lack of success or producing the exact opposite result we want to produce. It's been really revealing to me and even helping me to think about, okay, man, why am I thinking that way? You know, why am I even saying that the way I'm saying it? Because I need to change the culture here first, before I can change a culture or promote the culture in my own organization.
Yeah, that is beautifully said. You know, and I think about taking every thought captive, because we do. I mean, there are so many thoughts that are running through, and it can be from external or it can be like the thoughts in our head, right? And boy, the mindset, that is so good. So good.
One of the things I was thinking about, you know, Paul gives that instruction, but I see a lot of Christians going around and actually saying that. And I think that's great. You know, I'm taking that thought captive. The making it obedient to Christ isn't actually the action. The action of making obedient to Christ is take what is the truth of God say that counteracts what it is that you thought.
Yes.
Because we got to put that truth back in. We can remove that, but we got to put the truth back in.
You got to replace the thought with the truth, right?
You got to put the right thing in, and that actually helps you to reprogram what's the right and take that lie out and put the truth in.
So good. Well, Chad, I think we could just keep talking and talking, because this has been so much fun.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been awesome. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.